Pop Spotting 213.
Wednesday, February 15th, 2012.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wildcard Wednesday, and we're going back to movies after our artsy-fartsy double feature on Monday. We figured we'd go mainstream again.
Yes, we figured it was time for another Flick Chart Face-Off, where we're going to run through some head-to-head movie matchups as presented by one of the most addictive websites out there.
So, some rules. We both have to have seen both movies, but if we have to actually come to a consensus on which one wins.
And so far, that's worked out pretty well, and again, while this might reveal how many movies we have no excuse for not having seen or how bad our taste really is,
really
this
bad.
Should still be a lot of fun, especially if you disagree with us and tell us why we're completely wrong. But Jen, are you ready to play?
I am ready.
All right, so we are going to flickchart.com, and our first matchup for today is Mummy from 1999 or Hook from 1991.
I think Mummy.
Me too.
Because I don't really remember Hook all that well, and that's probably a bad sign.
Well, you know, I know Jay Glatfelter is a huge fan of Hook, but I also don't have much memory of it, except that it was really colorful, kind of a circus. It was, I think, a little darker than I expected, but just more noisy and kind of madcap. I don't really remember the film at all, and I definitely remember having a good time with Mummy.
Mummy was stylish and fun. It had really good visuals and an interesting plot. I had more fun with it.
Yeah, all right. So Mummy it is. Next matchup is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. That is the first film, or The Breakfast Club. And I don't think this is going to be much of a matchup for you.
Breakfast Club.
So, well, you know, I liked the Harry Potter films, although the interesting thing is the Sorcerer's Stone is the only book that I've actually read. But, you know, now that I've seen all the other movies, the first movie with the actors, they're still kids. It was really kind of a kids movie. It just doesn't hold up, I think, with the later films in the series.
Well, I've become something of a Potterhead recently, and I've gained a new appreciation of the films for what they are, but I think the first two really haven't won me over just because of Columbus's style. I don't think they quite have the dark tone, especially that we get in the later movies.
And you are a huge fan of The Breakfast Club, so
right? It was a key it's a key element of my adolescence.
Yeah, it still is referenced in day-to-day conversation, so we'll make that pick. And next up is Jurassic Park from 1993 or Quantum of Solace from 2008.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it was just a really remarkable film when it came out. It had a great soundtrack, of course, great effects, great scares, and Quantum of Solace is the second Daniel Craig film, and I kind of remember the opening to it, but I don't even think it was as good as the first Daniel Craig Bond film.
No, I don't. I remember the first Craig Bond movie really well, and I liked it, but the second one didn't stick with me, and Jurassic Park has always been, it's a marvel, and I was just reading an interview with Spielberg in Entertainment Weekly. He was making Jurassic Park and Schindler's List at the same time, and he was talking in the interview about how he was watching dinosaur footage the whole time that he was directing Schindler, and it made me see how emotional both projects must have been for him, and it's really kind of given me a new appreciation for Jurassic Park.
The first film was Casino Royale, and
right.
I think so I would take that maybe, but no, Jurassic Park wins. Blair Witch Project or Good Will Hunting?
Good Will Hunting.
Absolutely. I was wondering why you hesitated, but why would you pick that one?
Well, the more time passes, the more it seems like Blair Witch was maybe a practical joke. I remember
it kind of was even then.
Yeah, well, the very last scene still scares me a lot. But otherwise, it's really mediocre. It's not even entertainingly bad in some ways that movies are. It's just sort of there. And I remember that the Sci-Fi Channel ran kind of a pseudo-documentary right before the movie came out. And I thought that was more effective and scarier than the actual movie.
Yeah, you know, the fact of the matter is Good Will Hunting is a good film. It's
a
solid film. You've got Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and it was a great collaboration. And, I mean, it's sort of suffering from the Shawshank Redemption effect, that they show it so much on TNT that it's almost a cliche. But it was a really good film. I thought it was a solid film, and it had Robin Williams in it, and I have to admit, you know, Robin Williams hasn't been in anything anywhere nearly as good, I think, since Good Will Hunting. So we are going to pick Damon and Affleck there. And ooh, I like this one, Trainspotting versus Black Hawk Down.
Trainspotting, because I remember liking Black Hawk Down when it came out, but I don't remember it now. And Trainspotting will just always stick with me because of Robert Carlyle as Begbie. Just, it's very disturbing. It's very dark. I think it's probably the first real addict movie I remember seeing, and it just always stuck with me.
Yeah, it was shocking. It was disgusting, but it was still hilarious and fun and clever and madcap. And I think I mentioned it was one of my favorite movie soundtracks as well.
It is an awesome soundtrack.
And the soundtrack can bring me right back to the film. So yes, it is Trainspotting, The Little Mermaid, and The Breakfast Club. And I don't know where they get these Japanese kind of movie posters. Anyway, Little Mermaid from 1989 or The Breakfast Club from 1985?
Probably The Breakfast Club. I love Disney films, and I love the music, especially in The Little Mermaid. But I've always had issues with Ariel as a role model. I mean, she has a really good life, but her entire existence is based on trying to be a human. And I think that teaches a lot of little girls that being what they are isn't really good enough. And I think maybe Little Mermaid might be my least favorite of the Disney movies of the 90s.
Well, you know, I love The Little Mermaid. The music was fantastic. It was one of the great, you know, Alan Menken and Howard Ashman collaborations, mm-hmm. right up there with Beauty and the Beast, which we just saw in theaters, and just reminded me of how great that music is. I can sort of see what you're saying about the role model thing, and she just wants to be human, and it's like when you overthink the ending to Grease and what that is actually saying about people too. But I think she was great. She was feisty, and you know, she wanted to explore and stuff.
She was a redhead.
Well, they're at that too. So I can't be hard on The Little Mermaid, but you know, frankly, The Breakfast Club, I will certainly quote that more than The Little Mermaid, and I think any movie at this point matched up against The Breakfast Club has to lose. So it'll be The Breakfast Club again. We move on to The Goonies from 1985 or The Ring from 2002. It's The Goonies.
It's The Goonies. Yeah. I was impressed with The Ring. I remember seeing both of The Ring and Ringo. I might have mentioned this before and was more scared by The Ring. But I can't resist The Goonies. I talk about nostalgia a lot. And maybe that's why we're talking about The Breakfast Club so much. But I tend to mention John Hughes when we're talking about nostalgia. But The Goonies is like the one movie I indulge in to satisfy my inner little kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much in that story to love. It hit all the right points, you know. I mean, certainly we'd identify being kids of the 80s and maybe being that age, but it had treasure hunting, it had bad guys, it had pirate ships, it had monsters, it had the awkward young romance, it had everything that and they did the Hanaho Picture Show. They showed The Goonies as one of its picks. So that is absolutely the winner here. Transformers 2007 versus Braveheart.
Oh, God.
It's Braveheart.
Braveheart. Well, yeah, Transformers just gave me a headache. It was a mess. And I don't like Braveheart either. I think it's misogynistic and it's very violent. But at least in any point in Braveheart, I can tell you what is going on. Transformers is just confusing and noisy and just a big mess.
Get off my lawn, kids. Well, you know, I've never been able to really get into the Transformers series. And I think Braveheart is a great epic, you know, battle warrior romance film. It's unabashed in it, and of course it's got Mel Gibson, who you might have mixed feelings about now, but I remember when it came out, I think it got pretty well received.
It won Best Picture.
Exactly, and I remember the soundtrack. You know, it's probably one of the better John Horner soundtracks, so I think that Braveheart is a perfectly reasonable choice there. Next is Jumanji, 1995, versus Back to the Future Part 2, the middle film.
I don't remember Jumanji.
I'm not sure either. Was that another Robin Williams film?
Yeah, it had the wild animals in it.
Right. It was about a board game or something. So I have not seen that. The Mummy Returns versus Back to the Future 2.
I haven't seen Mummy Returns.
No? Well, no. I mean, you haven't missed much. I think we saw it at my dad's when he had some sort of preview for Showtime or HBO or something.
Oh, is that what that was?
Well, it was not as good as the first one is all I remember thinking. Haven't seen The Mummy Returns. And next matchup is Casino Royale. We were just talking about that one versus Back to the Future Part 2.
I'm going to have to go with Back to the Future Part 2. I love this series, and I think I like Back to the Future 2 more than most people do. I mean, I did like Casino Royale, but as a trilogy, I think the story is really engaging. I think the cast is wonderful. They're considered classics for good reason.
Well, you know, the nerd in me would pick Back to the Future Part 2, although a lot of people see it as a big mess. And I, like you said, I think a lot of people rag on it. I think that it's a necessary middle step between the first and third films, which are superior. But I did enjoy Back to the Future 2. And, you know, Casino Royale, I liked it a lot, but it's another Bond film. It's one in a very huge franchise. And just, in, you know, in many ways, it just can't be quite as special to me. So I would agree. I am surprised, though, that you picked Back to the Future Part 2. Next matchup is 10 Things I Hate About You from 1999 and once again Good Will Hunting from 97.
I think I would pick 10 Things.
Whoa.
But I can't really say why. I saw it again just recently, and it hasn't aged well, but I liked it despite the fact.
Well, it's a fun film, but I agree, it's a very dated 90s film. It had Julia Stiles and who was the guy?
Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, I mean, so I can see maybe the cast was good, the story is fun, but, you know, again, I think that Good Will Hunting might get a bad rap for Basic Cable, but I think, I mean, I don't even think they can be compared. I guess that's what Flickchart is making us doing, but for any level, whether the acting, whether the movie-making achievement, I mean, this was kind of the breakout thing for Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. I don't know. I'm not sure if I can go with 10 Things I Hate About
All
You.
All right. Okay. I agree.
All right. Well, good. So Good Will Hunting, and we'll see if anybody else might have gone with 10 Things I Hate About You there. I'm not sure about it. Ooh, The Goonies is back, and this time it's against The Sixth Sense from 1999.
This is a tough one. I don't know. Probably The Sixth Sense. Ah. I love The Sixth Sense because I can still watch it again, and the big reveal doesn't ever seem corny or confusing or pulled out of thin air. It makes a lot of sense. And there's still a lot of scary things about The Sixth Sense, so I'll have to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are ragging on M. Night Shyamalan so much now that it's hard to give him credit for this, which almost seems like dumb luck at this point. But I think that it was a pretty darn good film, and I think that, you know, as much fun as The Goonies are, I think The Sixth Sense is a better film. I would actually agree with you there, but I'm wondering now if more people are screaming at us. Next up is Home Alone from 1990 versus The Lost World. Jurassic Park. That was the second in perhaps way too many sequels for the Jurassic Park films.
Yeah, we talked about Jurassic Park 2 last time, so we're going to have to go with Home Alone.
I would agree. It's Home Alone for sure. Next matchup, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back from 2001 versus The Silence of the Lambs from 1991.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, I got to go with that one too.
It's one of the few book adaptations that I like maybe even more than the book. I think the book is very good, but it contains a lot of unnecessary storyline that doesn't really go anywhere. So, and the movie just goes, it gets right down to business.
I love the movie. I thought it was just brilliantly put together. I mean, I've not read the book, but it was a gripping film. I was on the edge of my seat. It had great thrills. It had great tension. It had really scary moments, creepy moments. You know, Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins, a wonderful sort of battle of the brains there. And a creepy skin guy was appropriately scary,
yeah,
too.
Buffalo Bill, played by Ted Levine, who was Stottlemyre on Monk.
That's right. Yeah. Stottlemyre. I mean, you can't even believe it's the same guy.
I know.
So, I mean, I absolutely have to agree. It's The Silence of the Lambs. I mean, I'm actually kind of a fan of Kevin Smith. He has some really great films and some not so great films and some horrible films. This one might be
in the middle,
lower
somewhere.
Middle. So yeah, there. I mean, it's not a fair matchup at all. Silence of the Lambs. And our next matchup is I Am Legend versus The Green Mile.
I haven't seen either.
You haven't seen The Green Mile?
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's another, you know, Basic Cable. We show it all the time. You know,
I know.
Oscar
I just
caliber.
Don't have any interest in it.
Well, okay. But yeah, it was Frank Darabont was the director. It's Stephen King. You love Stephen King? I am shocked.
Okay. Well, we'll have to rectify this.
I guess so. We are going to say, though, haven't seen either. Wow. Avatar or The Italian Job. This is the 2003, though, not the original classic film.
I would have to go with The Italian Job.
Really?
Yeah. I found Avatar really derivative and kind of silly.
Well, I mean, everybody was like, it's Pocahontas over again. It's they were comparing it to other films like Ferngully, for example,
right.
Which I was surprised anybody even remembered. But that's weird. I mean, I think Avatar is in the same class as Titanic for very similar reasons. It was a significant filmmaking achievement, even though it wasn't necessarily the best story or the best movie. It's sort of something that you had to see for the experience of it. But the Italian Job. I mean, I remember enjoying it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It sort of gave you the big American movie star Hollywood take on the classic with some of the best gimmicks, like the meanie chase and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun, but I don't know if I liked it. I mean, it seems like such a way out of scale comparison. And if it was maybe the original Italian Job, I would have a tough time. But both of these are I guess, flashy, obnoxious American films. But it's a matter of size. It's a matter of ambition. And I mean, you can be cynical about both of these films, but I think Avatar is an easily a better film than Italian Job.
It took me a minute to actually remember who was in the Italian Job. So I think you've talked.
Who was in
me
the Italian
it.
Job?
Mark Wahlberg.
Was Brad Pitt in that one?
No, it was Mark Wahlberg and Charlize Theron.
Okay, well, see, I don't now. You're making my case for me. I think that for whatever reason, maybe we don't think either film is fantastic. I kind of liked Avatar, but anyway, we're going to pick Avatar. I win to get us to The Terminal versus The Princess Bride. Yes, well,
The Princess Bride.
Yeah,
all
that's
the way
up there with The Breakfast Club. Nothing is going to beat The Princess Bride. The Terminal was the Tom Hanks I'm stuck in an airport.
It
movie,
was
right?
So awful. Hanks' performance is just breathtakingly bad, and I can't even understand why they used Hanks in the first place and not somebody like Tony Shalhoub, who looked the part of the character. It felt like it was so close to blackface, and I hated Catherine Zeta-Jones' character. She was so stupid. It took a true story that might have been interesting and turned it into this cloying, preachy, treacly disaster.
Well, who was the character supposed to be like? I mean, you know, I don't remember the book or the story that it was based on, so I can't necessarily pick it up.
I believe the character was Middle Eastern.
Oh, well, then I guess that would have made more sense there. But wow, that's a pretty solid vote in favor of The Princess Bride, taking us to Garden State versus Twister.
Garden State.
Yeah, I think I would go there too. I mean, I had a good time with Twister.
No,
but
Twister is a lot of fun, but it's a popcorn movie. We paid to see it in the theater twice, but really, whoa, that's really all it is a lot of fun. And Garden State is really quirky and kind of precious, but the soundtrack was really good.
Yeah, I think it was the soundtrack that I was thinking of when Garden State came up, and that would have been maybe the first reason why I chose it as a vote. This was with Natalie Portman in it. And
Zach Braff from Scrubs.
Right, right. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that I would still pick Garden State, although you clearly have a better memory of it than I do. Oh, here's fun. Star Wars Episode III, the non-existent prequel, Revenge of the Sith, from 2005, versus The Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk is not the Ang Lee, like, emo
no,
Hulk.
No, it was the one with Edward Norton.
Right, right. I didn't think that, well, okay, it might have been bad, but I enjoyed it. I think I did. I don't know. Now I'm starting to get these Hulk movies confused. I like Edward Norton. Mm-hmm. And I remember that the third prequel, the one that supposedly takes you right up to Star Wars, was the best of the prequels, but I guess that's very faint praise. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, neither of these are exciting choices. So, I mean, I really could go either way.
Come on. Episode 3 is the movie in which we learn that Darth Vader is a whiny, petulant baby.
So it just ruined more of our childhood?
Yes.
And you know what? They're doing this whole 3D thing. Apparently it's not doing well, and I'm kind of glad that it's not, this whole going back to the same well for the 50th time to try to get even more money out of us. So I think that just because it's not Episode 3, we are going to pick The Incredible Hulk. Let's do a few more here. Ooh, 12 Monkeys, 1995 versus Sin City.
12 Monkeys. Yeah. I really like 12 Monkeys for a lot of reasons. It's a really good mind bender, and Terry Gilliam is a great filmmaker. Sin City to me was all style and no substance. I thought the performances were all so generic that you could take any one performance and put in just some other random actor and get exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I think, 12 Monkeys is one of my favorite films ever, probably easily in the top 25. I could watch it over and over again. I still kind of like puzzling over what's happening. It's a great time paradox film.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sin City was, like you said, I remember the style. I remember the energy. I remember maybe the action and the color, but I don't remember altogether that much more about it. So that's a easy pick. It will be 12 Monkeys. Hot Fuzz from 2007 versus Minority Report from 2002.
Hot Fuzz.
No hesitation.
Yeah, I don't really remember Minority Report that well. I think I liked it, but just any time you get Simon Pegg and Nick Frost together, you have magic. And I love the cast, Edward Woodward and Timothy Dalton as the bad guy. I just think it's a great comedy.
Well, you know, I could probably make a pretty good case for Minority Report. I think it was a pretty solid action film. It's sci-fi. It's, you know, it's based on a Philip K. Dick story. It's right. Tom Cruise before he went completely crazy. And, you know, so I think that it's a solid film. And I agree with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and they're a great pairing. But I thought that Shaun of the Dead was a fantastic film. And for me, Hot Fuzz comes in below that. I mean, it's a fun film. It's an
enjoyable
film.
Shaun of the Dead is the better film. But I think I would pick a comedy over Minority Report pretty much any time. Like, right at this particular moment, I would pick a comedy over Minority Report.
Okay, well, you know, I can see going either way, but I will go with you on Hot Fuzz. And that takes us to Mean Girls versus Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Mean Girls.
Yeah, well, I mean, after everything we just said about the prequels, that kind of makes sense. But, I mean, Mean Girls was one of those delicious sort of movies that I didn't expect that I would like, that I enjoyed quite a bit.
It has a lot of heart, and it's quotable and funny. A lot of people compare it to Heathers, but I think Mean Girls is funnier and sweeter and less cynical than Heathers.
Yeah, this was Lindsay Lohan. Right. You know, again, disassociate the person in the news or the tabloids right now versus the performer and the actress at that time.
Right.
So I will go with Mean Girls for sure. Let's do one more to wrap it up. We have Mr. and Mrs. Smith from 2005 versus, once again, Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Home Alone. Mr. and Mrs. Smith was a Brangelina film.
Right, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I found Mr. and Mrs. Smith sort of mean-spirited and really violent. I thought the premise was really interesting, you know, married spies who have to go after each other. But I think it was poorly executed. It turned into just a really standard action flick instead of concentrating on the drama between the two people.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of noise. And of course, maybe you like seeing these two actors together on screen, but otherwise it kind of added up to not very much. And Home Alone, you know, still remains, I think, one of the classic holiday films. It's Macaulay Culkin. It's a time and it's a style of movie that I don't think we're going to ever see again. So I think there are many reasons to close with our choice, Home Alone. So according to Flickchart right now, our top five films ever under the Pop Spotting account at flickchart.com/popspotting is number 5, American Beauty, number 4, The Fast and the Furious, number 3, X-Men 2, X-Men United, number 2, 2001, A Space Odyssey, and number 1, A Beautiful Mind. So, okay, we're still not quite proud of the rankings that we've been getting, so we're going to have to work on this some more on a future show, but again, we would love to hear from you on our choices on these matchups. Where would you have gone another way? And of course, if you are on Flickchart, let us know your username so we can check out your clearly superior ranking of films.
But be warned, because you're going to end up missing appointments and stuff, because it is addictive.
Absolutely. It should be a controlled substance. And again, we want to thank the guys from Flickchart, Florida guys, by the way, for letting us play with their website. But again, if you want to tell us why we were completely wrong, you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. And you can also leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. You can also follow our personal Twitter accounts at Hawaii and at Mrs. Hawaii.
Nicely done. If you use an iPhone, an Android phone, a Palm phone, even a BlackBerry, there's an easier way to keep up with podcasts besides downloading them and syncing them and landing them up. You can just get your fix quick and stream the latest shows instantly with the Stitcher app. If you've not tried it yet, check it out and support our show by going to Stitcher.com/popspotting.
Dan Pashman of The Sporkful created our theme song. We want to say thank you to him, and we also want to thank you guys for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.